Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find 10 lines from the top. Shluchei mitzvah, pturin min hasukkah. People that are on their way to perform a mitzvah or to be involved with a mitzvah, they are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. Cholin u'mishamshein pturin min hasukkah. People who are ill and those that are aiding them are exempt from the sukkah. Oichlin v'shoysin aroi chutz l'sukkah. One can eat and drink in a aroi, means a non-established or non-fixed fashion, in a call a snacking fashion outside the sukkah. The details of the Mishnah, of course, will be elaborated upon in the course of the Gemara. The topic heading that we have assigned to this Gemara, you can see on the outside margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, we have Ha'oisek b'mitzvah, potur min ha'mitzvah. The rule states that one who is involved in one mitzvah is exempt from being involved with a second mitzvah. We will speak about shluchei mitzvah, people that are on their way to perform a mitzvah, and we will speak about a chosan as well. A person, a man who is getting married, and on his wedding night, the issue comes up, is he obligated in the recitation of Kriya Shema? The question coming up because his mind is preoccupied on the issues of marriage and his first act of intimacy, and therefore that might be the grounds for exemption from saying Kriya Shema. Now, you'll notice that we have Roman numerals 1 and 2 in diamonds that are found to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. These represent two sources for the idea of Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha'mitzvah. Later, the Gemara will have to inquire, will ask about why do I need two sources for the same idea. So the Gemara opens up, Minno hani mili, detonu rabbonon. From where do I know that which the Mishnah teaches that shluchei mitzvah pturin min hasukkah? So the Gemara answers with a Tanaic source, quoting from the Pasuk found in Kriya Shema. It says there, it says, B'shiftecha b'veisecha, that the Torah in that portion of the Torah that we refer to as Kriya Shema is saying that one should be involved with the Torah, b'shiftecha b'veisecha. And that comes to tell me, prat la'oisek b'mitzvah, to the exclusion of someone who is involved with another mitzvah. And the Torah is basically saying that if you're involved with another mitzvah, so you would be exempt from saying Kriya Shema. And for our purposes, Kriya Shema is representative of other mitzvos. Uvelechtecha baderech, it also says that in the Kriya Shema. Prat lechosan, this is to the exclusion of a man on his wedding night. Mikan omru, from here we say, hakeines is habsula poter, one who is wedding a besula. This is a girl, we call in English a virgin girl, a girl who has never been married, is someone who is marrying a girl like that, is poter. And, of course, when we say a virgin girl, we're talking about a girl that has not experienced intimacy ever before. Ve'esho almono chayav. However, if one is marrying a widow, he is obligated in saying the Kriya Shema. This source is going to be explained in great detail as we go on in the Gemara. So if things sound a bit abstract or obscure, don't worry. The Gemara asks, my mashma, how do you see in the words b'shivtecha b'veisecha and u'belechtecha b'aderech, how do you see in these words the exclusion of oisek b'mitzvah, the exclusion of a chosan? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Huna, kiderech, like the road. In other words, when do you say Kriya Shema? It's when you are involved in circumstances that are like being on the road. Now, what do we mean by that? Ma derech rishus, af kol rishus. Just like one who takes a trip, he takes a trip because he personally opts to do so. He wasn't commanded to. So, just like a person under circumstances of being on the road, he's there under optional circumstances and not pre-commanded. So, af kol rishus, so to any other circumstances where you're involved in your own personal activities. So you have to stop and say Kriya Shema. Lafuke hai, to the exclusion of the chosan or the osek b'mitzvah, to their exclusion, who are involved, the b'mitzvah osuk, that are involved with a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, how are you so sure that the word b'derech, u'belechtecha b'derech, is dealing with something that's only of a personal nature? Mi lo askinon de ka'ozil l'dvar mitzvah? Is it not so that the posik, when it says u'belechtecha b'derech, means you're on your way to do a mitzvah? V'ko'omar rachmono likri, and the Torah is saying, say the Kriya Shema anyway, so that even though you're on your way to do the mitzvah, maybe the Torah is telling me, stop your preoccupation with the mitzvah, and say the Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, no, that's not the understanding of the Pasuk. Im kein, if the Pasuk was including being on the road to do a mitzvah, that you're on your way to mitzvah performance, Lema kra, the Pasuk would have phrased itself as follows, b'sheves u'beleches, in the general grammatical form, meaning b'shiftecha, instead of saying b'shiftecha b'veisecha, he's saying, while you are sheves, during dwelling in houses, or beleches, walking on roads. But it doesn't say it like that. My b'shiftecha u'belechtecha, in the possessive form, you're sitting on in your house, or you're walking on the road. That's when you say Kriya Shema. That's beleches didoch hu demechayvis. Since it's in the possessive, we understand it means when you're on your walking, on your personal opted trip, then you say Kriya Shema. Oh, beleches de mitzvah patiras. When you're on your trip to do something that the Almighty commands you in, meaning you're on your way to perform a mitzvah, that's no longer of a personal nature. It's commanded from above. Well, under those circumstances, you're not expected to say Kriya Shema. Hence, we come up with our rule, ha'oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha'mitzvah. You'll notice the double underlining. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you can see the double underline is featured. And we've written, Hapturim shenilmedu mibeshivtecha u'belechtecha. Exemptions that we will derive from these psukim. So we conclude from b'shiftecha u'belechtecha that if when it's your personally opted type trip or involvement, then you have to stop and say Kriya Shema. Ha b'leches de mitzvah p'tiras. However, when you're on your way to perform a mitzvah, so as we said, then you are exempt. The Torah never commanded someone who was on his way to do a mitzvah to stop and say Kriya Shema. The Gemara goes on with a question, Ihochi, and the triangle also is explained on the side. These are shlavim. These are stages. Levayer mahu b'diyuk haptur shenilmad mi b'shiftecha ubalechtecha. What exactly is the nature of the exemption? So these are questions here and a few lines later. Questions to help define this exemption. So the Gemara asks, ihachi, that leches de mitzvah is potter. When you're on your way to do a mitzvah, you're exempt. Afilu kines es ho'almona nami. Then even one who is wedding a widow should be exempt. And yet, look at the arrow on the side. Align it with the arrow above. What did we see in the source? We said, one who is kines es ho'almona, he's chayav in saying kriyashma. So if the Torah is giving you an exemption based on mitzvah performance, so the wedding of a widow is also considered the fulfillment of a mitzvah. The Gemara answers, and again, bear in mind that we're in the middle of developing an idea. So each stage is only a stage, and there's further development later. So in the meantime, if the question was asked, so if Balechtecha, Baleches de Mitzvah, you're exempt, then why is our Kines es Hamona obligated? So the Gemara answers, Kines es Habsula Torid. Kines almona lo torid. Torid means preoccupied. His mind is preoccupied with the wedding of a virgin girl. And as a result of the tirda, his mental preoccupation, he can't possibly concentrate on the Kriya Shema recitation, which demands a certain level of concentration. Without the concentration, so he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But since he's preoccupied with thoughts of his wedding, the wedding of the Basula, he can't concentrate on the Kriya Shema, and hence he is exempt. Whereas Kines Almona Lo Torid. However, when wedding a widow that's already experienced intimacy, and therefore the man's concerns about her feelings or physical pain that she might experience isn't there, because she's already experienced intimacy. We just made mention of pain. It's known that a young girl, during her first experience of intimacy, there's a certain amount of pain involved, physical pain. And the groom, the husband, to-be, is thinking about that. It's on his mind. He doesn't want to cause her the discomfort, which is almost inevitable. But that bothers him, it preoccupies him, and hence he can't possibly concentrate on the Kriya Shema. So at this point, the exemption is based on what? Torid. That's why we have that double underline. The exemption is called Tirda. The Gemara asks a question. This question lasts a number of lines. The Chol Hecha de Torid Hochinami de Potter. Is that really so? That that one is exempted because of preoccupation? Elo Meato. If that were the case, then Tovos finosa bayam, a person who owns a sailing vessel, and he sees his vessel is sinking at sea. He sees that he's going to experience a major financial loss. The torid, someone like that is certainly preoccupied. What's he going to do with his loss of money? So someone who's watching his boat sink at sea, hachi nami de poter. And is he exempt from reciting the Kriya Shema? V'chiteima hochinami. And if you say that's right, he is. That because of mental preoccupation with other matters, if you're going to say that Tirdo in fact is a basis of exemption, that's not true. V'omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Omar Rav, Ovel Chayev b'chol hamitzvus amuros b'Torah. An ovel is a mourner. A person just lost a very close relative. It's quite human to be very preoccupied with his loss. And yet, it is taught that an ovel is obligated in the performance of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, including Kriya Shema. There, we have a section in brackets, one line, and on the side we indicate Matras Sagrayim Kidei Laharos Sheikra Sheila Mimashinema Lifnehem. The main question has already been asked. This is a technical side point, but we'll read it. We said that an Ovel is obligated in all the mitzvahs, including Kriya Shema, so that we see that even though the man is Torid, he is nevertheless obligated. Chutz min atfilin, the exception as far as mitzvahs are concerned, is the Ovel and his wearing of tefillin, where there is in fact an exemption. On the first day of his mourning, he does not wear the tefillin. Sharinemar bohen pe'er, because it has been said concerning tefillin, the term pe'er. There is a pasuk in which the Novi is said, it says pe'er chachovush alecha, and from that we learn that for everybody else, on the first day of mourning, because the custom is to have ash on their head, and it's not proper to have tefillin on the place that a person is has ashes. So that's an exception. So the question is, if we see that Tirda is not really the exemption, because if it were, then the Ovel would have been exempted from Kriya Shema, then why is the Kones Es Hapsula in fact exempt? The Gemara answers, Hacha Torid Tirda de Mitzvah. In the case of someone who is wedding a Besula, a virgin, his mind is preoccupied on a mitzvah-related matter. So simple preoccupation is not the basis of exemption. But preoccupation with mitzvah fulfillment is the basis of exemption. Hasam, in the case of the Ovel and Tovas Finoso Bayam, Torid Tirda Derishus. His preoccupation is one of an optional nature. Now, many of you are familiar with the laws involving mourning, and amongst the many different laws, one thing that's not included is state of mind. In other words, an Ovel, a mourner in honor of the deceased, is obligated to perform or behave in a certain manner. However, the halacha is not dictating his mindset, and therefore, even though he is distraught, he's upset, he's saddened, that's human. But the Torah expects each one to overcome that aspect of his makeup and concentrate on the recitation of the Kriya Shema. However, and we're just repeating what we mentioned before, however, when it comes to wedding a besula, there the Torah is not telling you stop thinking about a mitzvah, and therefore you're obligated in, or you should wear, you're exempt from Kriya Shema because you're preoccupied with thoughts concerning mitzvah performance. Whereas in mourning, the mitzvah is to practice certain behavior forms, but not to be of a certain state of mind. The Gemara continues with a long question. V'ho'isek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah me'hocha nafka? Is this concept of Oisek b'mitzvah, one who's involved with a mitzvah, is therefore exempt from another mitzvah, learned from here, from b'shivtucha b'veisecha, mehasam nafka. And as we said, this long question will take us down a number of lines down the top of Omid Beis, and we should note on the side, we have a topic heading, and we call this hemshech, a continuation. Ha-gemara makshe v'harei yesh mikro acher. Mipesach Sheni. We have another Pasuk. The topic of the Pasuk comes from the laws regarding Pesach Sheni, which involves a person who was unable to perform, to offer the Korban Pesach on the 15th, on the 14th of Nisan. The Torah provides a makeup Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar, 1 month later. So the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni serves as a liftur oisek b'mitzvah. B'amid Beis, HaGemara, Mochicha, D'yesh Tzorech, L'shnei Mekoros. On Amid Beis, the Gemara will say that in fact we do need two sources. And why, that will be explained later. But in the meantime, the Gemara is asking, is it so that Oisek B'mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah is learned from Sheshivtecha B'Veisecha? It's learned from over there, Desanya. It says in the context of Pesach Sheni, the makeup Korban Pesach. It says, Vayi Anoshim Asher Hoyu Temeim Lenefesh Adam. The Pesach describes people who on the 14th of Nisan were Tomei. They were exposed to Tumas Mace, to defilement, and a defilement of the dead, and when one is defiled, he cannot perform the Korban, he can't offer his Korban Pesach. And the Pasuk refers to the men. Who are those men? In response to this question, you're going to see three approaches. Number one, Noisei Aroinei Shel Yosef Hoyu, Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. They were the people charged with carrying the coffin of Yosef, who was buried in Mitzrayim, and they carried his remains to Israel through the Midbar. And in the first year of their travels in the Midbar, which Rashi refers to Shona Hashenis, would be the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first Korban Pesach was done in Mitzrayim, so the second year, when the time to do the Korban Pesach came up again, so these people were Tomei. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yossi Haglili's explanation of who the defiled people featured in the Pasuk were. Rabbi Akiva, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Rabbi Akiva Omar, Mishoel Ve'el Tzofan Hoyu. These people named Mishoel and Tzofan, and what were they, why were they Tomei Meis? Shehoyu Oiskin Benodov Ve'avihu. On the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was constructed and set up, the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, died. Without getting into the whole story of their death, but there was a need for their bodies to be tended to. And Mishael Ve'el Tzofan, the names of the two people who dealt with Nadav and Avihu. So those were the people that were Tomei Lenefesh. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer. Now Rabbi Yitzchak is the third approach, and he confronts the first two opinions and explains why they are not acceptable, and hence he'll come up with his own opinion. So Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, imno yisei aroinu shel Yosef hayu, if the people who were Tomei Mace on the 14th of Nisan were those who were carrying the remains of Yosef, they could have separated themselves from the Oron Shri Yosef. After all, when the second Pesach was coming to when the date was coming up, they weren't in a traveling mode, so they could have put the Oron Shri Yosef in aside for safekeeping and become tahor and become purified from their previous state of defilement. And if it's a reference to those people, they could have purified themselves as well. Very simply, by waiting the necessary time period for purification from corpse defilement, they true became defiled on the 1st of Nisan, but from the 1st of Nisan till the 14th of Nisan, there's plenty of time to experience the 7 days of Tumas Meis, and also enough time to then metahir themselves. So it's not reasonable to assume explanations 1 and 2 for these people who the Pasuk is featuring were defiled and couldn't therefore do their Korban Pesach. Ella, oiskin b'meis mitzvah hoyu. So Rav Yitzchak tells us that the pasuk that says vayi anoshim ashayu tameim lenefesh, they were people that happened to bury a body. Meis mitzvah is a term that often is associated with a body that is found and has no one to bury it other than you. But Rashi says it can include anyone who is in, all of a sudden needed to tend to a burial. So the pasuk is describing people who were oisek b'meis mitzvah shechal shvi shelohen liyos be'erev Pesach. We mentioned that a person who becomes defiled to a corpse is tomei for 7 days. The pasuk is describing people that their 7th day of defilement came out on the 14th of Nisan. That means that 7 days earlier they had to bury a body. Now, they knew 7 days before that Pesach is coming up, and since it was the 8th of Nisan, from the 8th of Nisan till the 14th of Nisan, when you count inclusively, you'll have 7 days. So they were there on the 8th of Nisan, knew fully well that by opting to take care of this body, they're not going to be able to do the Korban Pesach. And how do we know that that is what the Pasuk is talking about? That they were people that buried Meis Mitzvah 7 days before? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'lo yochlu la'asos ha'pesach b'yoyim ha'hu." That pasuk that we started on at the bottom of Amud Aleph goes on to say they weren't able to do the Pesach that day. B'yoyim ha'hu ein yochlim la'asos hoylim ochor yochlim la'asos. If this is a pasuk in the theoretical form, that if the next day they would have been able to do the Korban Pesach, what the pasuk is saying is that day they weren't able to do it, but the next day they would have been already purified. However, since on the 14th of Nisan, the next day is the 15th of Nisan, that's not a time designed for the doing of the Korban Pesach, so the Torah provides a makeup date for them 1 month later, the 14th of Iyar. But let's go over this point. What do we have from all of this? So we explained this earlier. The pasuk that tells us about people who are exempt from doing the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and hence granting them a makeup date, why are they exempt? Well, because 7 days before, they were involved with the mitzvah of burying someone, and the Torah does not expect them to push aside the burial of a person because the Korban Pesach is going to be jeopardized 7 days later. Rather, take care of the mace, oisek b'mitzvah, poter min ha-mitzvah. You're allowed to take care of the mace, even though it's going to come at the expense of doing another mitzvah, the Korban Pesach, a week later. And again, what's the point here? We're saying it again. Ha-oisek b'mitzvah, poter min ha-mitzvah. Now, at this point, though, we've got two sets of sources. We've got the Kriyat Shema source, where we learned about B'shivtecha b'veisech u'v'lechtecha b'derech, and we have this source of Pesach Sheni. The Gemara says, Tzricha, I need both sources. Now, when the Gemara does this, Tzricha, we call it Tzrichusa, the necessity of two sources, generally speaking, it's a long point. And that's why we have it marked off as such. It's a point. It's also an answer. It's a long answer because we had started. The question had been, "What do I need an addition? Do I not have an alternative source?" So the Gemara here is answering, "I need both sources." So hence we have a long marking showing you that all of these lines develop the point of the need for the two sources. Tzricha, I need both. Di Ashmin Hosam, had the Torah told us about the exemption of Oisek Mitzvah Potter Mitzvah based on the source involving the Korban Pesach, Mishom Delo Mota Zman Chiyuva De Pesach. They are able to do the Meis Mitzvah commandment because the time for the Korban Pesach hasn't arrived yet. So they're not opting for one over the other where two mitzvahs are in front of them. But rather, the Mace Mitzvah is something imminent, and the Korban Pesach is something that's a week later. So because of that, we tell you, do that which is imminent, and if it's, even though it's going to come at the expense of the Korban Pesach, but the Zman, the time of our Pesach obligation, is not upon him. Therefore, we say, take care of that which is incumbent or binding upon you right now, the Mace Mitzvah. Avol Hocha, but in the case of the Kriyashma, what are we talking about? We're talking about someone where he's getting married, he's wedding a woman, nighttime falls, he hasn't wedded her literally yet, in other words, he hasn't done the act of intimacy, he's not about to do that imminently. He'll do that an hour later, two hours later after darkness, but in the meantime, the Kriyashma has, the time for Kriyashma has already come. Avol hocha de mota zman Kriyashma. Mota means arrived. The zman of Kriyashma has arrived. And now it's a question of, I have the mitzvah of Kriyashma, the time for it is upon me, and it's true that I'm also thinking about the mitzvah of the Kines HaPsula, but the time of Kriyashma is now upon me. Amolo, maybe in a case like that, there isn't an exemption for Kriyashma. There's a Rashi that we're looking at the lower part of the narrow lines. Avol, there's a star in the Rashi, might help you find it. Avol Kriyashma, de motozman chiyuva besocha chupa. But the mitzvah of Kriyashma, whose time has arrived when he is besocha chupa, means he's in the position to experience intimacy with her, the hu roi lekach, and he is capable of doing it. He's capable of saying Kriyat Shema, physically capable. Emo lechayev, maybe he should be obligated in the saying of the Kriyat Shema, so that if I would have the Korban Pesach source alone, that's where the obligation of Pesach hasn't arrived yet. But here, in the case of the Kriyat Shema, where the zman of Kriyat Shema has arrived, maybe he should be obligated to say the Kriyat Shema. Let's read that line again in the Gemara. Avol hocha de mota zman Kriyat Shema emolo. Maybe there is no exemption for doing the Kriyat Shema. Tzricha. Therefore, we have to tell you b'shivtecha v'veisecha to inform us that even there, where the zman of Kriyat Shema is already upon you, nevertheless, you are exempt because of your preoccupation with the Kines es Hapsula. The E Ashmin and Hocha, and had we told you the exemption in the case of Kriyashma, Mishum Daleko Kores, one who doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma is not incurring a punishment of Kores. Aval Hosam, but in the case of Korban Pesach, which is a type of mitzvah, the Iko Kores, that the lack of Pesach fulfillment would result in a person being guilty of kores, being punishable by kores. Amolo, maybe there is no exemption. And because Pesach is such a severe mitzvah, its lack of fulfillment has such a severe penalty, I might have said that if you know 7 days before that you won't be able to do the Korban Pesach because you're going to become tameh, we'll tell you maybe don't jeopardize the Pesach performance. Tzricha, therefore, we have to give you the source by the Korban Pesach as well, that he in fact is exempt. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice at the side a nivneh, a structural note, and you'll notice triangles that appear, a series of triangles in the Gemara, and we've written on the side, Sidra Shel Memra Shel Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Omar Rav, a series of comments made by Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, quoting Rav, the Inyan Ovel, or Choson, Potter, or Chayev, the Mitzvos, and the Sukkah. So we'll be dealing with these categories, Ovel and Choson. We'll see whether there's exemption or obligation in the realm of Mitzvos and the realm of Sukkah. Kufa. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav. Oveil Chayev B'chol Mitzvah Samuas B'Torah. A mourner is obligated in the performance of all mitzvahs, chutz mitfillin, except for tfillin on the first day, Shaharei Nemar Bohen Pe'er. Regarding the tfillin, they are described as glory. Midomar Le Rachmona Li Yechezkel, the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, addressed the prophet Yechezkel and said to him, Pe'er Cha Chovu Sholecha, Yechezkel was in a state of mourning, is commanded to have his tefillin worn. In other words, that Yechezkel, he has to wear tefillin. That's it's stated in the pasuk in the possessive form. You have to wear tefillin. Atu demachayvis aval kuleal moptiri. But any other ovel under the same circumstances would be exempt. Vahani mili, when we speak about the ovel exemption, it's biyom rishon. It's the first day of his mourning. Dechti v'achrisa kiyom mar. That the first day of mourning is the intense mourning period. The is on the first day. That's the achrisa kiyom mar, like one bitter day. But that, as we said earlier, the issue of the tefillin is a detail. The main purpose here is to see that which we quoted before, that the ovel is obligated in other mitzvos. The exception being tefillin. V'yomer Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav, ovel chayev besukah. An ovel, a mourner, is chayev to dwell in a sukkah. The Gemara asks, pshita. Well, that's obvious that he should be obligated. Rashi explains in the Y lines under the Gemara, my shno ha mishar mitzvahs. What is the difference concerning sukkah from other mitzvahs? The Ashmin and Rav Liel, the Ovel Chayev B'chol Mitzvahs. Why does Rav here have to feature the Ovel's obligation in Sukkah when Rav mentioned just before that the Ovel is Chayev in all Mitzvahs? Isn't Sukkah one of the Mitzvahs? The more answers, Ma'al de Teimo Hoyol, V'yoma Rava Mitzvah Potem in Sukkah. Since Rava has a teaching that says that someone who is in a state, one who is in a distraught state of mind, he's Mitzvah. So he's exempt from sukkah. Hi, Nami, Mitztarhu. The Ovel is also Mitztar. He's mourning over the death of a close relative. Komash Malon, we are therefore informed here, Hani Mili Tzara de Memela, that exemption of Rova, that Mitztar, Potem in Asukkah, that's when the tsar is memela. Now Rashi explains what that means. So Rashi says, tsar de memela, shasukah mitzaroso. Some sukkah aspect is what causes him to be distraught. Kigon chamo, the intense too much sun, otzino, or is frigid, osircha, bedvorim, shesikech bem, or some kind of foul smell coming from the schach that he used to cover his sukkah. So under those circumstances, Rava's din applies. Aval, hocha, but here, in the case of the Ovel, Iuhu de Kometzar Nafshe, the Tsar, this state of mind that he's experienced, this painful state of mind, is something that he brings upon himself. Iboyale, Lisuve Daite, the Torah expects him to overcome that and calm down, if you will, and therefore he is obligated in the sukkah. And Rav had to tell me this, and so as to prevent us from thinking preempt the question of, is it not so that an ovel is mitztayer, and we know that a mitztayer is potim in a sukkah, so we gave the difference that there is a constant mitztayer potim in a sukkah, but that's only if it's a tsar that's sukkah generated. Some aspect of sitting in the sukkah is what causes his tsar. In the case of the ovel, that's not his source of discomfort or his pain. And therefore, since it's not sukkah related, he is obligated in being in the sukkah. The Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Marav, Choson Vashishbin V'chol B'nei Achupa P'turim in HaSukkah Kol Shiva. A Choson, a new groom, and his Shushbin, and those people who keep him company, serve him, care for him for the 7 days of the called the week of Sheva Brachas, or the 7 days following the actual wedding. Those people are Pturin min Asukah. They're exempt from sitting in a sukkah called Shiva all 7 days. 7 days of the sukkah's holiday. My time. Why is there this exemption? Mishum debo'u lemechti. Because they have to create joy. Lemechti is to be in a state of Rashi calls of simcha, of joy. So because they have to create the simcha, the shushbin, and create the simcha for the chosan, and they have to be in a state of this proper joyful state of mind and acts of joy, they're exempt. The Gemara asks, "Velechlu besukah, velechlu besukah." Now here we have a double underline used, and on the side under the mivneh heading, we've written "Hatsa'ois le'echoson yochol lekayim mitzvah sukah." Suggestions the Gemara makes how a chosan could yes perform the mitzvah of sukkah, be, and in other words, suggestions showing or demonstrating why should the chosan in fact be exempt. In the meantime, we said, well, he's exempt from the sukkah because they have to create joy. So the Gemara asks, "Velechlu besukah, velechtu besukah." Why not have them eat in the sukkah and have their joy and their simcha in the sukkah? So the Gemara answers, "Ein simcha ella b'chuppah." The state of mind that we refer to as simcha can be accomplished only in the chuppah. Now, what exactly is a chuppah? So Tosfos, toward the end of the page, he mentions, if you look in the Tosfos commentary, the fifth of the wide lines under the Gemara text, "V'tzorach ledakdek mahi chuppah." We have to analyze what exactly is meant by the term chuppah. "Di'i b'mokom shiborchu t'chila b'ruchas nisuin kori le'chuppah." If you were to think that the chuppah is what, in fact, we call chuppah, when they actually get married, there are seven brachas that are recited under the marriage canopy. If that's what you think the chuppah is, that the Gemara is referring to, so that cannot be. And he goes on to prove how that cannot be. So he comes up with the actual pshat, and that's found 4 lines from the end of the Tosfos commentary, from the end of the Tosfos column. He says, "Elo mokom ikur yeshivas chos mekala kori lechupa." The ikur, the main place of their dwelling, of the new couple where they are going to be living, their main living place is called chupa. And not in a place that they happen to upon by chance. So when you're dealing with their mokom ikur yeshivas chos v'kala, v'sham mevorchim brichas chasanim kol shiva. That's the place that lends itself to saying sheva brochas, the seven brochas that are recited after the brichas hamazon in honor of the chosan and kala. So we continue in the Gemara. We said that the suggestion of eating in the sukkah and lechtu b'sukkah, that's not tenable because ain simcha l'b'chuppah. Simcha is achieved only in the chuppah, as Tosfos defined. V'lechlu b'sukkah v'lechtu b'chuppah. So why not have the people eat in the sukkah and have the joy done in the chuppah? The Gemara, and if we were to follow that, again, you see, we're maintaining sukkah fulfillment, even though we're dealing with the chosan and the b'nei chuppah and the b'nei the shushbinin. So the meantime, the Gemara answered that simcha cannot be accomplished other than in the chuppah. And the chuppah is where the chosan and kala will be dwelling. That's their main dwelling place. The Gemara asks, "V'lechlu b'sukkah, v'lechlu b'chuppah." So why not still eat in the sukkah and have the joy in the chuppah? So the Gemara says, "Ein simcha ella b'mokom su'uda." So we're defining simcha, where it is accomplished. So 2 lines up, we said simcha is done only b'chuppah, and here we're saying that simcha is accomplished only where you are going to be eating, where they're going to be eating. So the most recent suggestion of let them eat in the sukkah and do the joy in the chuppah, so the simcha is only where you are eating. Well, the Gemara asks, v'lev dos chuppah b'sukkah, so let them have the chuppah by the sukkah. In other words, let them using the Rashi, the Tosus explanation, let the Chosin and Kala dwell, their main dwelling place to be in the sukkah. So if they would have the chuppah in the sukkah, and we said that ain simcha ela b'chuppah, so I would have my cake and eat it too. In other words, I would be mekayim the mitzvah of simchas chosin v'kala, and also be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara answers why this is not an option, this last suggestion of saying let them have the chuppah in the sukkah. Number one, Abaye Omer Mishum Yichud, and number two, Rava Omar Mishum Tzar Chosin. Why we don't have the chuppah in the sukkah? So Abaye's pshat is because of the potential for Yichud. Yichud is the prohibition of a man being together in privacy with a woman that's not his wife, or not his daughter. The sukkah, Rashi points out, was customarily built on the roof of houses. Not that that is an obligation, but that's what was commonplace. That's not a location where there are masses of people all the time. And a situation could arise if the chuppah is the sukkah, so you have this young couple, and the chosan might have to go out of the sukkah, must have to go downstairs for a few minutes, and in the meantime, someone else up there on the roof where the sukkah is might end up being alone with the newlywed woman, and that would be a violation of yichud. So we can't expect the chuppah to be made in the sukkah, which, as we said before, the sukkah was customarily made on a roof. There were other people, but not many. And you'd have a situation of the girl could be alone with another man. Rava Omar Mishum Tzar Choson, the Choson, a newlywed couple, they want to be together as newlyweds are, without elaborating too much. Rashi points out that he will be inhibited from being as a newlywed couple would be and should be. And as Rashi says, Ela boish l'sachik in kosu, because the sukkah is essentially a three-sided structure. So it has this open aspect to it. And there are other people around, and it's embarrassing, if you will, for the chosan to behave as he should behave with his new bride. And that's why the suggestion of having the chuppah in the sukkah is not untenable. The Gemara asks, "My Binai, what's the difference between Abaye's reason and Rava's reason?" Abaye, having said that the problem with having the chuppah in the sukkah is a yichud problem, and Rava's explanation is because of tzar chosan. So, Iko Binayu, a point of difference would be the shchichi inshi denafki va'ayli lahasam. If you had a sukkah where there were masses of people, it was common for people to go in and out, there were a lot of people around, that would be the point of difference. We mentioned before that the roof was a place that there weren't lots of people around, hence the yichud situation could come up. Laman diomar mishum yichud lecha. But so we're saying here, according to the opinion that said, namely Abaye, who said the problem of the chuppah being in the sukkah is a yichud problem, so that would not be a problem if you were in a place where there were masses of individuals. People going in and out all the time. Because the din of yichud states a man being alone with a woman other than his wife, he's not alone. There are other people going in and out. Laman yomer mishum tzar chosanika, but if you have a sukkah, or maybe all the more so if it's a sukkah where there are a lot of people going in and out, that's only going to exacerbate the tzar chosan problem, and that will be the reason for not having the chuppah in the sukkah. So according to the yichud manda omar Abaye, you could have the chuppah in the sukkah, where it's mokom, it's a place the shrichi in she did not have the hasam. According to Rava, the fact that there are more people there isn't going to reduce the tzar chosan. If anything, it will only exacerbate it. Omar bizera, ano achli besuka v'chodi b'chupa. Rav Chissa says, I ate in the sukkah, and I experienced the simcha in the chuppah. V'kol shekein v'chodi l'boi, and I was all the more joyful. To call avidno tarti, I was able to fulfill both mitzvahs, the mitzvah sukkah and simchas nisuin. So what Rabbi Zeir was telling us is that he was able to do both mitzvahs, even though we said before ein simcha el b'mokum suuda. Here he was able to reach the simcha level, even apparently where he wasn't in the mokum suuda. His mokum suuda was in the sukkah. And he was able to v'chodi b'chuppah, and he was able to experience the joy in the chuppah, which apparently is not where he was eating. So that even though it's on the general masses, we say that there's no simcha ella b'mokom suuda, Rabbi Zeir was able to overcome that, and through that he was able to perform both mitzvahs. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source that continues on the same topic of Oisik b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. Tanu Rabbanan, Chosin v'ashishbinin v'chol b'nei chupa p'turin min ha-tfilin v'chayoven b'kriyashma. The Chosin and the shushbinin, those are the people that accompany the Chosin during that first week after his marriage, and all the others that are associated with that are exempt from the mitzvahs of tefillah, of davening. They're exempt from tefillin, of wearing their tefillin, and they are, however, obligated in kriyashma. We continue at the top of Chov Vav Amud Aleph. Maybe before we continue with the Gemara itself, what's different about kriyashma from the other mitzvahs? So Rashi says, because the mitzvah of kriyashma is a mitzvah having expecting kavona only for the first pasuk, and the chosin and the shishbina and the chol b'nei chuppah, even though they're very preoccupied with being mesameach the chosin, of creating joy for the chosin, serving him, nevertheless for one pasuk they can have, that's small enough for them to be able to concentrate on that. The Gemara continues, Mishum Rabbi Shilo Omru, we're at the top of Chof Avam Aleph, in the name of Rabbi Shilo it was said, chosin poter v'shishbina v'chol b'nei chuppah chayavon. He makes a split between the chosin and the shushbinin. The chosin is exempt, but the shushbinin and the b'nei chupa are chayev. Rashi points out that that this opinion of Rabbi Shilo disagrees with the Tanakhama, or let's say more accurately, disagrees with that which we saw earlier in Tanaic sources, that Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. So, as a result of that, we see the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shilo both mentioning that the Chosin and B'nei Chupa are Chayev in Kriyashma. The only difference being that Rabbi Shilo says that the Chosin, in fact, is exempt, but the Shushbinin are Chayev. So there's unanimity as far as the Shushbinin obligation in Kriyashma, leading us to understand that these Tanaic opinions don't hold from that which we saw earlier of Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Chananya, Kaisvei Sfarim Tefillin Mezuzas, people who are scribes and they write Tefillin and Mezuzas, Hain V'Tagrayim, the writers themselves, the people that sell Sfarim, or Sifrei Torah, for example, and that sell Tefillin, Hain v'tagrein v'tagritim, they're wholesalers, they're retailers. It's a chain of sale referred to here. V'chol ha'oiskin v'lecha shemayim, and all those are involved with heavenly work. Lasuyeh, to include this term of kol ha'oiskin v'lecha shemayim, comes to include lasuyeh, to include mochrei tcheles, people who sell tzitzis. Tcheles is a term referring to tzitzis. Pturin mikriyashma u'minatfilin, they are exempt from kriyashma, prayer, and from tefillin, u'mikol mitzvus u'amuros b'torah, and from all other mitzvahs. L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yosef Glili, through this we fulfill his teaching. Shehoyer Rabbi Yosef Glili omer, ho'isik b'mitzvah, poter mina mitzvah. People who are involved with mitzvahs are exempt from doing other mitzvahs. So that in this source we see people that were involved with the mitzvahs of tefillah, of tefillin and mezuzahs, and the distribution thereof, all of those are considered oisik b'mitzvah, and hence they are exempt from the performance of other mitzvahs. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.